Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. A number of years ago when I was teaching at Luther Seminary and so not serving a congregation at the time, my family and I were running late for church on Easter morning. And you know what happens when you're late for church on Easter. You have to sit up front. In our case, it was way up front. First pew, in fact, just off to the left side of the pulpit, kind of right where you are, but half the distance closer. And while the pastor was approaching the climax of his sermon, my 8-year-old daughter Katie leaned over to me and whispered, "Daddy, I don't think Jesus rose from the dead. I just think his friends really, really missed him." Kind of poignant. And then she continued, "Daddy, what do you think?" Now what I said was, "Well, that's a very good question, sweetie. Let's talk about it after church." But what I kind of wanted to say was, "Well, sweetie, I think it's Easter Sunday, and the preacher's right there talking about the resurrection. And even if it's true, sweetie, don't tell anyone because Daddy needs a job." I think about Katie's question from time to time, especially on Easter when we announce Christ's resurrection, and on All Saints Sunday when we entrust all those that we've loved and lost to God's eternal care. Because even on these days when we announce the resurrection with confident sermons and beautiful music and larger than usual attendance, it occurs to me that Katie's right. We really don't know for sure. None of us saw Jesus raised from the dead, and it might be that his friends, including his friends that wrote the Gospels, just really, really missed him. And none of us knows what happens when we die and won't know until, well, we experience it firsthand. And that uncertainty, the recognition that there are some things, some really important things that we don't know for sure, is not new to us and not unfaithful. In fact, it's at the heart of today's gospel story. Prior to the scene we heard read, Jesus' good friend Lazarus has become gravely ill, and his sisters, Martha and Mary, sent word to Jesus, trusting that he would be able to heal their brother. And when Jesus got the message, he did nothing, staying right where he was for 2 more days and arriving on the scene only after Lazarus had died. And so when Martha goes out to greet him, she is sad, yes, and grieving, certainly, but also upset and disappointment and kind of mad. And all of that and more is caught in her words to Jesus, which, truth be told, are as much accusation as greeting. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Or more to the point, "Lord, where were you?" How often, I wonder, have we said or prayed or at least thought similar words? "Lord, if you had been here, my spouse would not have died. My child would not be caught up in addiction. I would not be alone. Where have you been?" Now notice that in response to Martha's poignant accusation, Jesus responds not with a retort, not with a rebuke, but also not with an admission of fault either. Instead, he responds with a promise: "Your brother will rise again." And when Martha first thinks that he is speaking generically about some end-time event, he makes it more personal, more immediate, more intimate. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And Martha believes and carries on and offers comfort to those who are gathered, including her sister. And in time, Martha even hosts Jesus in her own home and offers him comfort and strength in return as he prepares to enter Jerusalem and go to the cross, all because of a promise. Hearing a promise, of course, is not the same as knowing something for sure, but as I have witnessed time and again across my life, promises make a difference. The promises we make to our children to love and protect them, the promises we make to our partners to be faithful to them, the promises we make to our community and country to honor and serve its ideals. We do not always keep those promises. And the pain we feel when they are broken is testament to just how important they are. But we do keep making them, because promises create hope and trust and community and belief. And so one of the reasons we come to church, one of the reasons we make time in our overscheduled lives for these 40 minutes is to hear the promise again that we are loved and have worth and deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. It is a promise we confess will be kept because it is God who makes it. And in hearing that promise, we believe again, trust again, and that makes a difference as it gives us the strength to go on, to care for others, to offer comfort and encouragement to those around us. That is actually how this day, All Saints Sunday, got started. In the 8th century, that is about 1,200 years ago, the church became worried that we might forget those who were persecuted and died in the early centuries of the church. Some of the names of the martyrs you see were well known and remembered, but most of them were not. And so the church created a festival for those forgotten saints. Over the centuries, more and more people were included, until by the Middle Ages, it became a day on which to remember all those who had gone before us, trusting the promise that even if we forget them, God will not. But even then, the development of All Saints wasn't quite complete, because when Martin Luther came on the scene, he broadened the festival even further, including not only those who had died, but all of us, all those who are still living and working and loving and struggling, all of us, including you and me, as beloved saints of God. On this particular All Saints Sunday, it seems like that promise has never been more important. It can feel at times like we live in a world set afire, with literal wildfires coloring our skies and affecting the air we breathe on too many days this summer, with the war in Ukraine dragging on and increasing indifference to it by those who could make a difference, with the senseless and brutal horror of the terrorist attacks on Israelis, and the ensuing havoc and destruction of the response. In the midst of all these challenges, and each of us could add our own personal struggles, in the midst of all of this, it seems a good idea to set aside a day to remember God's promise that all of us, all people, are God's children, God's saints, beloved and precious in the eyes of the Lord. After church on that Easter morning a number of years ago, as we were walking to a neighbor's home for Easter brunch, I said to Katie, "That was a really big question you asked, sweetie. Do you want to talk about it a little more?" She smiled as she shrugged and said, "No thanks, Daddy, I'm fine." And then ran off to play with her friends. Maybe it was enough to just ask the question. Or maybe it was something in the music or worship that day. Or maybe it was just that she knew that her parents loved her. Or maybe it's that kind of question doesn't linger long in the mind of an 8-year-old. But I've wondered since if something similar doesn't happen to us. We come together to assert our faith and give voice to our doubts. We come together to ask our questions and to make our needs known. And in and through all of this, we hear once again God's promise, the promise that God is with us and for us and will not let us go. And the promise that in time, God will wipe every tear from our eyes, bring all things to a good end, and draw us together as one people, one family, united in the love of Christ. We do not know this for sure, but we believe and believing, we carry on, giving comfort to those around us, trying to make a difference wherever we are, supporting what is right, standing against what is wrong, and keeping faith until Christ comes again. In just a moment, we will have, as is our custom on All Saints Sunday, a time of reflection and prayer accompanied by music. During that time, I would invite you to call to mind some of the people you miss, perhaps someone who died this past year, or perhaps some of those who have died earlier, remembering God's promise to bring each of those persons and all of us to life eternal. And then I would invite you to call to mind an immediate need or challenge that you are having, or something you've seen others struggle with, or something in the world that needs God's attention and care. Offer a prayer for God's presence and courage, and then pray that God might use you to be part of the solution, remembering that you too are a saint of God, one called and equipped to make a difference. For though we do not know this for sure, we believe God's promise, and believing makes a difference. Thanks be to God. Amen.